WNST, TASS in Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in Catonsville. We're in State Fair, whatever state of emergency we're in with coronavirus. We've forced the Harford County Executive to make the drive through Baltimore County, Baltimore City.
Down 95.
Down 95, over Catonsville.
Through the backed up tunnels.
You know, I would just say this. We're looking at the walls here, and my first coronavirus loss was Eddie Vedder over here and the Pearl Jam concert
there
in Baltimore. But, you know, we're in a state of wherever we are. We plan these things in Baltimore Positive, and we're delighted to have you aboard. If I would have known how well you were going to dress, I dress Harford County. I figured I'd put my ball cap on. And
well, the County Executive Glassman has a certain reputation of being well-coiffed.
You are the best-dressed farmer dude I've ever met in my life.
Well, my father taught me always look good. At least, you know, if you dress the part, it's half the achievement.
Well, welcome. We thank all of our sponsors here at State Fair. Fadley's, also coming to Catonsville soon. Our friends at Center Maryland and our newest sponsor, Jeff Moeller and Moeller & Gary Realtors. Give Jeff a call if you're ready to buy or sell this summer. Well, County Executive, this will go up in about a week, and you come in right in the midst. Nestor and I were talking as you were making your way in. Local government is where it meets the road, where the rubber meets the road. And
it's where we live.
Coronavirus, and you've got, 250,000 people you're responsible for in Harford County. Give us a little, peel the curtain back for us and tell us what it looks like in local government when you're trying to deal with a health crisis of this magnitude.
It's new for me, although I think I've run the gamut from police shootings to mass shootings to blizzards, and so we're prepared. I mean, we have these coop plans that we practice on and through emergency preparedness, and actually we started on this about 3 weeks ago, just when we started seeing in China when they were building the big tents over there for hospital treatment. We began to activate our EOC, our Emergency Operations Center. Just had everybody begin to pull their plans and take a look at what we need to do. And Don, as you know, we're responsible for everything from roads, water and sewer, the school system, just keeping the county running. So we're prepared. I think, as most local governments, we've probably never been through a pandemic of this size that they're predicting. But we have a plan. We're carrying it out. And, of course, I was hoping to be one of the last counties to have a positive case. Last week, of course, we had one of the first cases, and we've begun to implement our plan, meet with the governor, state health department.
Well, when it comes to what the federal role is and what the local role is, just on something like shutting schools or shutting down essential transportation, treating it like a snowstorm or treating it like a hurricane or treating it like any of those type of things, first thing you think is gas in the car, food in the house, essentials. I've been at the grocery stores. I mean, toilet paper wiped out, not to mention cleaning products, but now oatmeal's going, right? Like frozen goods, these type of things. At what point do you make your own decision? Is what point does it hand down from the federal to the state to where it goes from Trump to Larry to you to say, all right, schools are done or we're going to shut things?
Right. So on this one, the governor set up a kind of a chain of command, a little unusual. Usually MEMA or emergency managers at the statewide level would give us guidance. On this public health crisis, we're getting guidance from the CDC down to the state health department. And they are pushing it down to the local health officer. And so I'm meeting with him and talking to him daily about the different guidances. And believe me, it's changing hourly depending upon where the case is, what the situational aspect of it is. So we're taking guidance down through the line. But in the county, unfortunately, the buck stops with you. So if something happens, say, at a senior center or something, you've got to be able to take a quick reaction and make your own decision when it comes to public health and safety, which ultimately you're responsible for. So the other role is I did a robocall to everyone Sunday night. Part of my job, too, is just reassuring folks to remain calm, kind of follow the basic precautions that we do for all public health things. Good hand washing, you know, avoid large gatherings, kind of look out for yourself. if you're sick and got a fever, stay home from work and see how it progresses. Call your health provider. So just kind of do the common sense things that we would normally do and try to approach it from that angle. I mean, with social media and cable news beating us every 2 or 3 minutes with it, you know, folks have become a little bit, I think, alarmed and panicked a little bit. And I think we've just got to kind of remain calm and do what we normally do.
It really is a time, County Executive, when you mentioned that you did a robocall. I know you've put out some press releases. Mm-hmm. I've seen you've said to people, we're on top of this, we're prepared. It really is one of those times when people look to government to be reassured, right? I mean, they want to know that their government is on top of it, because for the average citizen who's, I mean, even, you know, now that I'm not in it, when you're not in it, you're not up to date. We need someone to be giving us the latest facts.
You do, and you automatically think that everyone's as hip as you are with the cell phone, right, and the internet. But you've got a lot of older folks in your constituencies, folks that may not have the internet.
Yeah, the information's there. Now, how do we get it to them?
Right. And so a lot of folks don't get that information unless, you know, you give them a phone call, you get out your messaging and have your department heads out there on the street spreading the word. So a lot of it's just getting information out. And I think, you know, being transparent and telling them what you know is never a bad thing, just information. And some people have to make their own decisions.
Well, what are you hearing at this point? And again, we know by the time this airs, it may have changed 10 more times. I saw this morning, I checked this morning when on the way in here, as of this morning, there were 126,000 cases, you know, worldwide, with 4,600 deaths. It's going to, I saw a chart, I guess it was yesterday, the Italy chart.
Off the charts.
That they displayed last night
was
terrifying. Yeah. It went from like 1 to 3. It's up in, you know, the geometric progression of these, of the growth of it was truly amazing. So what are your health officer and your experts in Harford County telling you as of this morning?
Especially when you get a case. I'm sure you learned more last week than you ever wanted to know, right?
Yeah, I did. But like I said, we've been studying this for a few weeks now, anticipating this. It's almost like a blizzard that you know is coming from the West Coast. You begin to do your advanced planning. But we know that we are, as a country, behind in testing. The kits weren't out. And so just off of the number of tests that are going to be done in the next 3 to 4 weeks, you are going to see an exponential increase in numbers. And some of that, maybe it's already out there, we just haven't tested for it. So we're anticipating a big spike in numbers. And that's why I think that we've moved to what they call a mitigation phase, not containment. Mitigation meaning everyone's got to stay home if they're sick, stay away from crowds, continue to wash your hands, sanitize, and do all the things you would normally do. And to some extent, this thing is going to run its cycle. We've got to prepare to make sure your local hospitals have capacity to treat folks that are severely ill, that need oxygen and so forth. And that's why you're seeing some of the hospitals in the Baltimore area begin to set up tents and staging areas to do testing and evaluate folks when they present at the emergency room. So we're kind of doing all those things. It will be a management thing to some degree, and each county will have to take it depending upon what kind of numbers you get. Hopefully we won't be like out in Washington State and so forth. It looks like this thing can have hot spots, like up at New Rochelle and New York. Hopefully Maryland won't get one of those hot spots. And then, you know, the local government in a spot like that is going to have to take some fairly drastic actions to contain it and manage it.
Yeah, before this, Nestor, I said before the last few days, the only thing I ever knew about New Rochelle was where Rob and Laura Petrie lived. You know?
No, Ray Rice is in New Rochelle.
Oh, there you go.
I've heard that.
Rob
and
Laura Petrie, for those of you under 60, Google Rob and Laura Petrie and Ray Rice. So, as you said, a true hotspot. I guess the uncomfortable question, County Executive, is do you feel political pressure to manage this? It's a shame that politics has seeped in, and I'm not going to ask you to sit here and criticize a Republican president. That wouldn't be fair.
I do enough of that.
Nestor does
that.
I'm not going to put you in that spot. Obviously, the governor has, I think, at times been pretty pointed, and the governor has gotten high marks, certainly for his handling of the virus here in Maryland. Do you feel political pressure as a local executive, or are you pretty immune from that?
No, you feel it. I mean, you feel pressure from constituents that want answers sometimes that, and we mentioned earlier, that chain of command, some of the things they pass down through the CDC, through the state, they don't want you to say. Like, they don't want me to say where my case is located, which hospital, or where she came from, and so forth. So you feel pressure there. And let's face it, in government, we always deal with folks that don't like to be inconvenienced.
Sure.
I mean, I know after 4 days of not getting a road clear during a blizzard, when you've had 2 feet of snow, someone will call you 2 days later and say, you know, why isn't my road clear? Why can't I get to work? I'm being inconvenienced. And let's face it, this public health crisis is going to inconvenience a lot of folks.
Everyone.
We are somewhat spoiled. We like to go and come and go when we want to go. And, you know, folks are going to have to change their daily routines a little bit until we get over the hump here. And hopefully the warmer weather will change and slow it down until we get into the fall, and maybe they'll get a vaccine or some other things. Right now, the mitigation's really aimed at slowing the progress. We know it's going to happen, but if it's slowed, at least the healthcare facilities, local government stuff will be able to manage the number of cases. But you always feel, you know, as you know, in local government, you either get you get the praise when things go good, but when things are not good, you get blamed for it.
It's a cliche. It's where the rubber meets the road.
Well, let me jump in as a citizen here.
We're with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman talking coronavirus, its impact on his citizens in Harford County and statewide. Nestor, you wanted to jump in. You got a
question. I think the one issue I have with Trump that leaks down to any in my own city, which is what started Baltimore Positive, which is a mayor who was lying to us or stealing from us. And Don and I used to get into it. I've been on the radio 30 years. I'd yell something. All these politicians are crooked. And Don would call me and say, don't you say that, because all's not right. Because, you know, people I work for, we get up every...
On both sides of the aisle. I know a lot of good people on both sides of the aisle.
Wherever the intentions are, when there's one straight road, you know, from coming from the top and one message, but when the message changes or the message is, I don't know where to get true information, right? Which is where this whole fake news thing, when you say it as a county executive, it has to be gospel to your constituents because you need them to abide by it. And right now, when you have fractured leadership, if he yelled, everyone stay home, I'm not sure everyone would listen. And I'm a little worried when it comes to pandemic that we have to listen. And not understanding how bacteria works. My wife had cancer 6 years ago this week. And we started wearing a mask. And she was immune. And people wanted to hug her because she was bald. And they just wanted to hug her. And I'm like, you need to stay away from her. Don't touch her. Don't touch her.
Right.
But I think that's an instinct. We all like, come on, let's shake hands. I saw the coach, the soccer coach come out. Guys were trying to shake his hand. He's like, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. I think it's very American and very human for us to want to, but the line of what's safe and what's not and where the message comes from government, we all need to respect that, right? And it needs to be one message, and we have to hear it. And I think this is one of those times where we're really going to be tested as to whether we're going to listen to our government.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I think you still have to listen to the experts. And I'm not an expert. I rely on our health department. And, you know, I would advise the president to do the same thing. That's why you have experts in the field. They're smarter than you are when it comes to public health, saving lives, and things like that. And,
That in local government, right? We step, if it's a police matter, we introduce the chief and step
aside.
If it's aside.
Water and if sewer,
it's
a, you go
we
to
bring up the Department of Public Works.
Right.
We learn that pretty quick.
You are not the expert, right?
Right.
Literally.
Yeah.
And you have people for that.
Yeah. And I know everyone worries about the economy, but when it comes to a health crisis, you know, the economy's got to take a backseat. The American economy will go up and down and recover. It's very strong. You really can't worry about the economy above taking care of your people.
If we don't live through it, we can't spend any money.
Don't open your 401k. No reason to look at the statement. We're all going to be okay. Listen, this has been a terrific update on coronavirus from a local government level. I think a good place to take a break.
Yeah,
we'll come back.
Real stuff. This is the most real, which is why
we'll come back and talk Harford County. Nestor, where
something
are we?
Something more positive.
Yeah, a little more positive.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to keep everybody safe and alive. We're down here at State Fair. We're in Catonsville with the Harford County Executive, the former Baltimore County Executive, and the sports guy from Dundalk. We're back for more WNSD and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us, Harford County. We're going to continue to talk more with Harford County Executive Barry Glass.